just starting up the new year, that there are some interesting changes occurring in financial markets. You know, if we look back over 2021 and even through December, it was still a story of, you know, despite the problems that COVID threw at us, we had the very expansionary policy prescription keeping growth going, lifting inflation, and the policymakers were proving to be very, very slow to take away all that support. And that took us most of the way through right to the end of last year. But the very beginning of this year, you know, there are the beginnings of changes, and it's what they took their eye off. It's really inflation. Inflation really has lifted a long way. And this latest takeoff in Omicron all the way around the world, whilst it can be a potential restraint to growth, is actually adding to the supply chain problems as far as inflation is concerned. And it adds to it, of course, through greater absenteeism in key industries. That in turn tends to restrict supplies, and it's just adding to producer price pressure everywhere. So just over this past week, we had the minutes of the Federal Reserve meeting that was held in the US back in December. And, they are becoming much, much more concerned about inflation, how it's becoming established. And so they're talking about lifting interest rates quicker than previously expected. And there's now a general view that, you know, the US will be starting to raise interest rates in March. And we'll be watching a couple of data points through the course of this week, which will have some bearing on that. We get on Wednesday, the December CPI comes out in the United States, and it looks as if we'll see the inflation rate hit 7% year on year. The market thinks that the CPI will rise 0.4% in the month after 0.8 going back the month before. That would actually elevate the annual reading to 7% from 6.8%. You have to go back to the early 1980s to find an inflation rate anywhere near that high in the United States. And so, that's one of the factors. And the other problem is that it's not going away anytime soon, because the following day we'll have December producer prices come out in the United States, and they're likely to lift again from 9.6% year on year to 9.8%. So the pipeline for inflation is pretty high in terms of producer prices. And also we've got wages which are rising pretty fast in the US. We had non-farm payrolls came out at the end of last week in the United States. And whilst the number of non-farm payrolls lifted less than expected, and some of that's to do with, people are absent and can't take on jobs because they're in isolation or these sorts of things with what's happening with Omicron, the average hourly earnings that came out were elevated. The month-on-month was expected to be 0.4. It was 0.6. And so as a result of that, there was expected to be quite a nice dip in average hourly earnings on an annual basis in the month of December. It was expected to come down from November, where it was just crazy at 5.1%, down to 4.2%. Instead of doing that, it came down to 4.7%, but next month is likely to go well above 5% again. And so we've got some wage pressure, which is running through the US as well. Non-farm payrolls, as I say, quirky at this point. They were expected to be up by 400,000. They rose by 199,000. But speaking to this point of, people who can't get into work at the moment because they're sick or whatever, are finding it very, very difficult, the unemployment rate came down. And it came down below 4% in the US. It was at 4.2%. The market thought it might come down to 4.1. It came down to 3.9%. So you've got this very, very stretched labour market still. And Omicron, if anything, whilst it might slow demand temporarily, it's really tightening up the labour market further. So this inflation pressure is still there on low demand. This is one of the stories which is developing as we go through this first part of 2022. And partly accounts for why we've had a bit of a knee-jerk reaction in bond markets, where longer-term bond yields really lifted through this first week. They were sort of pretty well behaved all the way through the month of December, but we've had a pretty significant rise in bond yields through the first part of this week. And of course, there'll be a lot of watching of the data coming out of the US later in the week, particularly the producer prices and also the CPI. Right at the end of the week in the US, we get things like retail sales in the US, industrial production. They will fail a little bit from where they were back in November, but my suspicion is that these numbers won't be the ones that count. It's going to be the inflation readings which will matter. Elsewhere in the world, we had some data out of China last week. It was their cakes inversions, the manufacturing PMI, and also the services sector PMI. The manufacturing purchasing managers index went up to 50.9. From 49.9. That was quite a surprise. So that was better than expected. Particularly so given that China's taking a different attitude towards Omicron to most other countries. It's locking down hard. Most other countries are trying to live with this thing now. That may be the wrong thing to do because basically the thing spreads like fury and people act as if they're locked down. So they tend to get this reaction in the opposite direction. In China, they're taking the harder version, and paradoxically, they're getting some better economic numbers on surveys off the back of it. So the cakes in manufacturing PMI actually lifted to 50.9 from 49.9. The services sector PMI lifted too to 53.1 from 52.1. This week in China, we'll get their CPI and producer prices as well. CPI is still holding down in China relative to most other countries. It was at 2.3% year-on-year in November. It'll probably come back to about 1.8%. The producer price index, now that's an interesting one for the month of December. It was up a fairly much a high point in November at 12.9% year-on-year. There's hope it'll come back to 11.1%, but we'll wait and see whether that one comes through. They also get some trade data, and that's still holding up pretty well for China. As far as Australia is concerned, obviously it's been really quiet. We don't get much data through the holiday period, but what we have, of course, got is this just explosion of Omicron, and also Delta as well. And it's partly to do with the change towards, I shouldn't say it, but governments here are, after trying to go for containment policies and trying to measure where this thing's showing up, they've said we give up, just let it rip. We hope that the medical system's going to be able to cope with it. Now, what is likely to happen with Omicron from this is that obviously it blisters up to some huge peak of infections. But what we know about Omicron, of course, is that particularly if people have been vaccinated and if they've been triple vaccinated, that they're not likely to get particularly sick. So they will isolate for now probably 7 days or under with the new rules which are coming in for many places. And then we'll come back out again. So there will be a peak in Omicron in terms of the infection rate. Definitely at some point over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And it's quite simply, you cannot keep on exponentially giving these numbers because some people are actually recovering. They've got immunity then and they're starting to work their way through. So we do get a temporary sort of jolt to economic activity from Omicron here in Australia, but it'll probably be a 1 month to 6 week affair before we get beyond the Omicron variant and we start to see things lifting again, because people haven't been spending very much. They've been forced back to saving. We've got all that potential spending to come through. Meantime, the numbers which are coming through at the moment this week are November numbers. And so we've got November home building approvals. Home building approvals have been coming back a bit. They are expected to fall again by 0.5% after being down 12.9% the month before. We also have November retail trade. Now, December was still pretty good. November was very strong. So we had October where retail sales lifted by 4.9% month on month. November's likely to show another 4% increase. December will be another strong month. January will be a different story because it's not that we've locked anybody down. but they don't trust government anymore to look after their health, so they've decided they're going to stay at home anyway. And so that's basically, that will take a bit of a dent is when we get to January. But the numbers we'll be getting for the time being, still very, very strong. We'll get some trade data here. We'll also get November housing finance. Housing is off the top, but it's probably a slow rollover. So we're just seeing housing finance data starting to tighten up. These numbers usually falling a little bit month on month now. And that's a reflection of the changes to the ability to get a loan. It's also changes to fixed rates, which are still rising as far as home loans are concerned. So we are starting to see housing just being tempered, and it's starting through housing finance. Europe last week, again, this was just almost catastrophic in terms of the price information coming out of Europe. They've had very large wave of Omicron going through. You're seeing exactly the same effects as you're getting here. We really hadn't resolved earlier supply chain problems, and now the supply chain's being exacerbated again because people are having to go into periods of quarantine, different countries. It's decimating the workforce in key supply industries, and so everything's scarce and is getting priced up. And so November producer prices, this is before things got really bad, were still elevating. And the year-on-year for producer prices in Europe went up from 21.9% year-on-year to 23.7% year-on-year. Again, beating expectations, higher than expected. We followed that up with their inflation reading for December. The market thought they were going to get a little bit of settling back. They thought that we'd get back to 4.7% year-on-year from 4.9%. It went up to 5%. At some point, these are such high readings now you do get central banks being jolted into action. They've been trying to resist this for a long period of time. It's a bit like the Fed minutes last week. All of a sudden, they have to admit that we've got to start to try and catch up with the curve somehow, this thing's got away from us, and we have to be very, very careful where we go. We got some potential headwinds to growth from Omicron, but they are likely to be temporary ones because of the way that Omicron will work. It will whiz up and come down. We've already got precedents for this in the South African numbers where it started, and we're getting plenty of evidence for it in the UK where they were fairly much earlier in the piece too. The central banks aren't going to be too worried about the Omicron wave, but they are going to be very, very worried by what they see coming through on the inflation front. So that's where the risks really lie around the world. So watching this very, very carefully over the course of the next week or two, what it's done in the first week of 2022. It's pushed up bond yields. It's still going to be a stepping motion, so they will overshoot, and then they'll step back a bit, and then they'll have another one of these rapid rises such as we got in the first week. And it's going to put a lot of volatility into risk asset markets. Anything that's got some earnings and is still running off the back of the strong growth and the inflation can probably still perform. But as we've seen, things like the tech sector are in real trouble. So just watching how things develop as we go through this next week or two. But 2022, different year from 2021. 2021 was the year when central banks and governments were sitting behind the curve and happy to allow things to run. This is the year the governments will still be happy to let things run, but the central banks won't. And so this is going to be a rather different year as things progress.